Grace and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So today Jesus tells us that we are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and God is not going to put us under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand. Downstairs, our children are exploring the concrete meanings of this promise. Ms. Marge and Ms. Holly, our children's church leaders for the day, have brought with them unsalted pretzels and salted pretzels so that everyone can taste the difference and see which one they like better. Kevin and Linda Mathias, as you saw during the children's sermon, brought in a bushel basket from their orchard, and I believe downstairs there is going to be some activity involving a flashlight. Kids are concrete thinkers, and Jesus was a concrete preacher using images from everyday life to show us what God is up to in the world. Anyway, inspired by the creativity of our children's church planners, I decided to spend a little bit more time thinking about salt and light this week, and particularly salt, which is the only rock we eat. We eat different kinds of animals, of course, and many kinds of plants, and yeast and mushrooms are fungi with culinary uses, but about rocks, well, salt's the only one. If you look up Matthew in most study Bibles and turn to the fifth chapter, the notes at the bottom of this passage that is our gospel reading for today that will tell you that salt has been known from ancient times as a substance that could preserve food or improve its taste. But an article from the magazine Fine Cooking went into more detail about how this mineral works. Salt brings out the flavor of meat by breaking down its proteins. It interacts with other basic tastes, sweet, sour, and bitter. Added to a sweet food, salt makes sugar less cloying. Think, for example, of salted caramel everything. Included in salad dressing, salt balances the sourness of vinegar or lemon juice. And when added to bitter foods like Brussels sprouts, it tempers their bite. If you have too much salt, you'll ruin a dish and risk health problems, of course, but if you don't use it at all, you'll miss a world of flavor. And salt is what Jesus promises that we are to be. Having been drawn close to him, we will be different, distinctive than the world around us. He intends to give us a unique identity of a people whose being rests in God and whose worth comes from God. Having offered us unconditional love and forgiveness, Jesus sends us out into the world to open up the flavor of the kingdom. He sends us out to balance the sourness of grudges and vindictiveness, permitting us to become voices for a more excellent way. Having given us the promise that evil and death are not the last words on anyone's life, he sends us out into the world to walk with others when they suffer, tempering the bitterness of loneliness and sorrow. But having given us a vision of peace, of a world in which everyone has enough to thrive, in which every human being is valuable, and in which those with power really could care about those with little power. Having given us this vision, Jesus also sends us into the world to, yes, disrupt the cloying sweetness of claims that the world is just fine as it is. When the powerful try to paper over words of injustice with appeals to niceness, Christians are called to balance that sweetness with a word of justice. But through it all, God uses us to flavor the world with what 1 Corinthians calls the strange wisdom of the cross, humility and kindness and gentleness and patience and self-control. It's interesting, I think, that Jesus does not tell us that this is something we have to do. The words that he uses just tell us that this is what we are. We are his listeners. You are the light of the world, he says. You are the salt of the earth. Being salt and being light is something that he promises us that we are. It's something that happens just by being near him, by listening to his word. It's like the baptismal candle that we just gave Elise a few moments ago. Christ is the source of her light. But God doesn't give us that light so that we can hide it under a bushel basket, but so that we can let the world see it through our deeds and our actions. Now, in the mode of Christian testimony, I want to say that I actually saw this in action this week, of people letting their light shine before others. Some of you know that I've been taking part in the Butler County's leadership program, which introduces people to various aspects of life in our county. Anyway, this week our class was having Criminal Justice Day, and so we were down at the courthouse and the prison. And we had lunch with our three county commissioners who spoke together and presented on how they perceive their county, this county. They are Republicans and Democrats. But in this country, at this moment, it seemed like an extraordinary thing to have Republicans and Democrats sitting together at one table talking with kindness. They work well together. They want to plan together. And they even seem to like each other. They spoke of their commitment to solid business, responsible government, and finding the best ways to help the hurting with grace and dignity. And with what I thought was great humility, they spoke of the challenges of trying to see the county from different perspectives and how they have had to learn in their own journey of public service that an issue looks different depending on where you stand and look at it. So someone in our class asked how they came to spend time in public service, being willing to run for office when that is not an easy thing to do. And a couple of them answered by talking about prayer and about asking God to use them in places where they could be of service and how elected office was kind of secondary to all of that. Now, I'm not telling you this because I think that you should go out and vote for these folks again. They just got reelected to another four-year term. Its election is far down the pike, and it's not my job anyway to talk about who to vote for. But my testimony is this. In listening to their answers, in listening to them talk about prayer, in the kindness and humility with which they spoke about their role, I felt myself being salted. I felt my own bitterness that I carry around about politics these days being tempered, and the sourness balanced. This was a bitter week in politics, and nationally, at least, I guess I should say. And at this point, I don't know anyone who hasn't been affected in some way by the vindictiveness and meanness and divisiveness that seems to be the order of the day in this nation. Even people who otherwise claim to follow Jesus seem to be caught up in cycles of hatred and hopelessness, and in that, I include myself. Jesus allows for the possibility that salt will lose its flavor, and we will become like the world around us, sour or bitter or sickeningly sweet. But on Tuesday, this word of grace seemed to open up to me. If salt loses its flavor, how will its saltiness be restored? By getting mixed in with some salty salt. On Tuesday, I was getting a good lesson in hope. Meanness and bitterness in our common life are not inevitable. And God is still putting lights out on the lampstand in this shadowy moment. A few moments ago, we asked Brian and Heather whether they would help Elise grow in Christian faith and life, not only by bringing her to worship and teaching her the Bible, but doing those things, why? So that she would care for others and the world God made, so that she would strive for justice and peace. washed in the waters of baptism, our lives are not our own. They belong to Christ, and by water and a word, God makes us useful for this world, salt and light. People who are meant to share love in the world that God created and which God loves so very much, in spite of all the things that we do to harm it and to harm one another. And we're useful to God, not just here in church where we expect to speak God's name, but at school or in hospitals or in prisons or courthouses or office buildings or on the street or wherever it is that the Holy Spirit pushes us to when we leave these doors. If we have been baptized into Christ, we should expect that God will lead us into service somewhere. Why? Well, because no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket. God least of all. Praise be to God for that. Amen.